subject this week had been godliness, and just to recap, see some new faces here this afternoon. To recap, on Lord's Day, we looked at the greatness of who God is, because if we're going to understand godliness, it's this attitude that is a Godward attitude that desires to do what is pleasing before Him. It is marked by fear and the reverence of God, and it's manifested in our conduct or our behavior. And so we've been looking at, we started with recapturing the greatness and the awe of who God is. We spent some time in Isaiah chapter 40 and just being captivated afresh with the greatness of who God is. Because if I'm going to understand how to live before God in my circumstance, in my situation, in my life, it starts first with a deep appreciation of who God is. And then we've been looking at it in the areas of our life. We looked at it in private life. We looked at devotion. We looked at discipline. We looked at exercise, the need to be exercised, to be concerned and to be focused and to be devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we looked at how the Word of God is a very pivotal and very important role in that area. And then we looked at service and how the Lord Jesus is the perfect model, the perfect servant, and how in our service we want to be it will be an outgrowth of what we have been developing in private. To be publicly available to the Lord's service, it's really going to be a function of our personal devotedness, our personal discipline, that God finds us vessels suited and fit for use. And so as we've been looking at this, most of the exercise, most of the discussion has been focused on personal. Individually, how we progress in this matter of maturity, this matter of living our lives in the light of who God is, walking in the light, having a Godward attitude that measures and tests all of our attitudes and our actions. But we are not isolated individuals. We are not alone. We are not, yes, we're saved personally. Yes, God in His grace has reached to us and brought us in individually, but He has also brought us into something that's collective in which we now have relationships. And it would dawn upon you as it has dawned upon me that really, if we think about it and if we're honest with ourselves, therein lies most of or plenty of difficulties that we experience in our Christian pathway. We have issues that come up between brethren, between sisters. And what we want to just take a time to look at is how this truth of godliness is to be applied in our relationship. We're going to look at, for a launching point, 1 Timothy. And most of our verses have been, or our starting points have been, something from 1 Timothy, the epistle where Paul is encouraging Timothy in this matter of exercising himself to godliness. And we're going to look at the first two verses of 1 Timothy chapter 5. And we're going to look at one verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And then we're going to look at one verse in Ephesians 5. So the first one is 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. And the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, and the younger, I'll insert women, as sisters with all purity. And then down to verse 6, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. Chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 2. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. And then we're going to read one verse in Ephesians. Remember, we talked about earlier that Paul had commissioned Timothy for his work to be at Ephesus. And so we're going to pick out one verse out of Ephesians chapter 5. And this will really set this tone for when we start to discuss this matter of godliness in our relationships. And I'm going to draw your attention to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. One of the... let me open it up with a question. Or to get the discussion rolling with a question. And we look at those verses in 1 Timothy. It's unique because Timothy was given a very specific role, a specific responsibility, and he was going to encounter those in Ephesus and wherever he was going to work. He was going to interact with them, and Paul gives him some instruction. What is the thing that we notice in Paul's instruction to Timothy in terms of these four relationships that he would encounter? How did he describe that they were to be handled? Say it louder so that all of you can hear that.
As family.
As family. And I want to just sort of ponder that for a moment. He expected them to recognize that their connection with one another is because of the work of Christ. We've been brought together. And he says, you know what? We are members of the family of God. And now, this creates perhaps some tension and some difficulty, because if we try to apply our natural families and apply that to the family of God, that might be a problem, because we might have dysfunctional families, right? We might come from a dysfunctional family. We might come from a family in which there isn't a believing father in the home, or there isn't a godly mother in the home, or there isn't brothers and sisters who are walking with the Lord. And so sometimes it becomes a little difficult to understand how the people of God are to live and to function as family. And maybe we can spend some time just thinking about this idea of what it means to be family.
To share a practical example, in Philippians 2, and we just beginning in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So we're to help one another out. And last Tuesday, I was here and I compared Christ with an earthly comparison, if you will, and that was irreverent. And a brother came along and said, hey, you did this. And I hadn't even realized I'd done it. So he had seen that I had, well, if you will, sinned. I had to acknowledge it, and I confessed it. And that's how people are to help one another out, too, in our lives. In Ecclesiastes, if you will, chapter 4, and beginning verse 9. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift his fellow up. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. And so, thank you, brother.